Good morning. Good morning. A lot can happen in 3 days. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. May this declaration resound not only in these walls today, but touch the lives of all we meet and forever be the truth or which we speak. Welcome to First Christian Church on Easter Sunday. If you're a visitor or guest today, we're so happy to have you here. Happy Easter. As we get ready for worship, let's make sure that our cell phones are turned to silent, and let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to our prelude music. Announcements today. You can find the announcements in your bulletin. We have some memorials in honor with our Easter lilies in your bulletin. Then we have a few announcements on the yellow sheet with a little bit of our schedule. The community handbell concert's coming up on April 2nd. We have some bell ringers playing in that. Circle of Caring, there's some information about that. And the next one is on Monday, April 4th. The Lunch Bunch invites anyone that hasn't been before to come and have lunch with them. The next lunch is on Thursday, April 7th at 11:30. And community groups. If you're interested in participating in a community group, we currently have two going on. And the leaders are listed there. Tuesday nights, you can reach out to Randy Sue or Paul Halleck. Thursday nights, you can reach out to Amanda Curlin or myself. And we'll be trying to form some new community groups this fall as well. We do have an announcement about the raffle. Where are you, Catherine? There you are.
Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone that bought tickets. We sold about 100, I think a little more than that. And so we'll pick the winner.
Here, I got to pick a different one. After that joke, that might seem fixed. Michelle Elser. There's friendship sheets located at the end of your pews. If you'd be so kind as to fill those in, pass them down, see who's sitting with you. We'll get together and sing our opening hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, number 216, verses 1 and 2. But before that, let's stand and greet everyone here today. Please join with me in the call to worship in your bulletin. We have journeyed through the season of Lent, seeking to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ.
On Palm Sunday, we follow the children waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna.
On Thursday, we joined the disciples in the upper room, where a Passover feast beckoned us to taste of bread and cup.
On Friday, we stood at the foot of the cross, seeing Jesus himself bleed and die for our sins.
Through all of life's journeys, Christ goes ahead of us as the way.
Now we stand at Easter's threshold, gazing into the empty tomb.
O God of life and sacred journey, may we be changed by knowing you.
May we leave this place amazed, eager to share the good news of resurrected life.
Will you please pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you. We thank you that Easter is not for a people, but for all people. That your love and your salvation are for all who confess with voices, hearts, and lives that the tomb is empty. Because Jesus is risen, we know forgiveness, that lives are reborn, and your name shall be glorified now and for eternity. Hear us together this Easter morning as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated.
Easter greetings to you one and all. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. What a joyous occasion this is in the life of the church. Around the world on this day, Christians are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. On this day, our congregation welcomes into full membership four newly baptized believers. Coming forward first this morning is Cheyenne Allen. Cheyenne, I ask you the good confession of faith. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Based on that confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Coming forward next is a young man who's been here his whole life. Zachary Holly. Zach, I ask you the same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and do you accept him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on that confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Coming forward next is Christoph Atkinson. It was just a couple years ago that his brother Eddie and his dad Jeff were baptized right here. Christoph, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our last member of the pastor's class this year is an adult, Todd Shaw. His grandparents, his parents, were members here. Todd's journey has led him at many places in life, and we are thankful that now God has led him home here to First Christian. Todd, I ask you the same question that those young people have answered in their innocence and their joy. I ask you to answer with the wisdom of your years. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you proclaim him your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Based on your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, your Spirit has stirred these baptismal waters, and we trust now that your Holy Spirit will continue to stir in the lives of Cheyenne, Zach, Christoph, and Todd. Oh God, we know that you are a blessing to them. May they be a blessing to your church. May your church be a blessing to the world. In your precious name we pray, O Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Let's sing some praise. Our first song of praise today is we're going to finish The Christ the Lord is Risen Today. We'll sing verses 3 and 4. Our next hymn of praise is on page 224, Christ Arose, and we'll sing all verses.
Oh,
Today we celebrate a miracle, an empty tomb. And now we wait on a little miracle. How many people went swimming but then ran to jump into their church clothes? As we wait a little bit on Pastor, I encourage you to turn to the back of your bulletin, where are listed today are our prayer concerns. Our card shower today, surprise, surprise, is for our newly baptized members, Cheyenne Allen, Christoph Atkinson, Zachary Hawley, and Todd Shaw. They would love to hear from you and hear your excitement of them joining our congregation. And the deacon's room is empty.
There are other prayer concerns listed on the back of your bulletin in addition to our card shower for our newest members. We also have some additions to that list. Prayers for Gene Buck, who is at Poplar Living Center. His therapy is going well. Prayers for Ann Clocksame. She will be having surgery in Denver on Tuesday. Please pray for Anne as she travels to Denver, and then on Tuesday as she has a procedure. Prayers for Catherine Kingsolver. She was in the emergency room this week. She was sent back home to Primrose. She has suffered some severe bruising from a fall and is very weak. Prayers for Wanda Hall, who has been struggling with a horrible cold and needs to regain her strength. The missionary we're lifting up in prayer today is Nancy Lott Henry, who serves in India. And we are praying for the United Church of Kanab Fredonia in Kanab, Utah. It's on the border, just the kind of southwest corner of Utah, just about an hour and a half drive north of the north rim of the Grand Canyon. It's one of the farthest outlying churches in our region. Their pastor is Marcia Meyer, and it's a multi-denominational congregation with UCC, Disciples, Methodist, and Presbyterian all worshiping together. Jane Wallace needs your prayers. Her husband, Scott, is under hospice care. The hospice nurses have told her that it's probably about 2 weeks before she can anticipate Scott being headed to heaven. He is ready for that journey, and the hospice nurses are keeping him comfortable. Prayers also for June Wilcox, who likewise is under hospice care. Are there others this morning that we want to add to our prayer list? Tom.
Yeah, Earl Stanford, his son Earl, drove his motorbike over his foot.
Prayers for Earl Stanford with a broken foot. Debbie.
My friend Sonia Taylor has been on the prayer list before. Her cancer is back. The tumor has grown and is now covering part of her bronchial tube. There's also, she also has other spots now. And there's she's the radiologist tomorrow, so that she do radiation. They're not sure she's going to be able to cancer tomorrow. She's been fighting since 2009.
Prayers for Sonia, who's been living with cancer since 2009. And is going through radiology treatments. Yes. Prayers for John Curlin's grandparents. As we think of Christians around the world worshiping Christ this day, we remember people in Brussels who are recovering from a terrorist attack, and we pray for people in all parts of the world who live in places of violence or fear. Let us bring all these concerns and the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts to God as we pray together now. Lord Jesus Christ, it is with the hope of resurrection that we praise you this day. It is with the promise of new and eternal life ringing in our ears that we lift our voices in song. It is in humble gratitude for your willingness to go to the cross to forgive our sins, that we come before you with our prayers. Lord Jesus, we rejoice with Cheyenne and Christoph, Zach and Todd and their families. We rejoice as a church family, giving thanks for your gift of new life through baptism. As the baptismal waters settle before us, we feel the calming peace of your Spirit. We offer prayers of joy with Ted and Lois Purvis at the birth of their great-grandson, Emmett. We join with Tom in praying for Earl, asking that his foot might heal. We join with Debbie in praying for Sonia. Lord, we pray for all of those who are living with cancer, for those who are blessed with the good news that they are cancer-free, for those who face surgery, who are going through radiation and chemotherapy treatments. We pray for your healing hand to be upon each one. Lord, we ask you to be with Anne. As she goes to Denver for surgery, we pray that this treatment will be fully successful and you will restore her health. We pray for parents and grandparents who, because of age, struggle with declining health, with receding memory, with difficult life choices. Be with all who need your peace and your guiding wisdom. Lord, watch over Jean, and be with Scott and June and others who are in hospice care. Be with their families in the days of waiting. We give thanks for the gift of eternal life, for the joy and hope of knowing that we will be united with you, Lord Jesus. But death also comes with grief for those who leave behind loved ones. We pray for your comforting peace for families. We pray for families in Brussels, the families of those who were killed in a terrorist attack and those recovering from injury. And, O God, we pray for the world in which we live. A place in which religious fanaticism is growing and driving people towards violence and away from your peace. Lord, we pray for the day to come when all peoples, all faiths, and all cultures would honor and respect the gift of life that you have given. Help us know how to live with one another in peace. We pray for Nancy Lott Henry and the work that she does in India. We pray for Pastor Marsha and the church in Kanab. Oh God, there are many prayers on our hearts and our minds. Some we name aloud before you publicly, and others we hold in the silent corners of our soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is no place in our lives that can be hidden from you. And so when your people cry out, you answer. Thank you, O Christ, for the gift of resurrection, your sacrifice on the cross, and our invitation to journey with you through eternity. In your risen name we pray. Amen.
Much of our thought at the time of communion naturally goes to the scene we call the Last Supper. It's fitting and proper, of course, but it sometimes hides from the mind's eye the scenes which come next, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Although it was an agonizing experience for him, I draw comfort from the sheer humanity of Jesus' experience in the garden. First, knowing that he is to face a horrible death brought on by betrayal, he goes to prayer. He does not go alone. He takes some of his closest friends with him, and this comforts me. How often have I held myself to the expectation that I cannot show fear, especially in front of my best friends? Here, however, is the greatest of men going to face that experience, and he brings along with him some friends. Were he God only, he would face this alone, I think. That he brings friends with him in this hour of need is entirely human. He understands me, for I too am afraid. He feels my pain, and that comforts me. Next, he goes to God in fervent prayer, only to be denied three times. Surely, if there ever was a man for whom God answered prayer, it was this Jesus of Nazareth. Now, at the greatest of trials, he asks to be released from the pain. Not once, but three times. This comforts me too, for I have asked to be released from my trials and troubles, and God has said no. God said no to Jesus. He knows what it's like to ask for release and be denied. He feels my pain, and that comforts me. He knows, too, what it's like to be let down by your friends. These are people that you think you can count on in a time of trouble. You say that you know them and that they would do anything for you. Here, they fall asleep as he prays. In this, his darkest hour, it appears to him that his best friends just don't care what happens to him. It's an awful blow, and he knows what it feels like. He knows my pain, and that comforts me. Worse than that, he knows the sting of betrayal. Just at the moment where loyalty would count the most, Jesus is betrayed. Not just by Judas. Judas we can paint as a villain, and therefore we can dismiss. But he's also betrayed by Peter. And Jesus knows the agony of betrayal at the worst moment. He feels my pain, and that comforts me. What comforts me the most, however, is this. He endured this pain voluntarily. He did not have to come to us. He did not have to go to Calvary. He went out of love for us. Even for the most unlovable of us, he died that we might have life. As we take communion, we are to examine ourselves. That should not be easy, but it should lead to repentance. It's not easy to ask forgiveness, but I ask of it of Jesus, for he feels my pain, and that comforts me. Our hymn of communion this morning is Come Risen Lord, number 397 in the hymnal, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2.
It is by faith that we come to this table to receive the cup from Jesus' hand. All who believe in Christ, all who long for God's love, are welcome here. Whether you call First Christian your own church home or you are visiting today, you are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper, to take the bread and the cup as it is passed, and then serve those who are seated next to you. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room, the night when he was betrayed by Judas, the night when he went to the garden and prayed to the Lord. We remember how Jesus and his friends sat at table, and our Lord and Savior took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his friends, to the apostles, to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Almighty God, every time we come to this table, we acknowledge that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to offer his body and blood on the cross. On this Easter day, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we express our joy and thanksgiving for our new life in your Son, for we know that by his blood we are saved. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm doing the Easter moment formation. It's by Reverend Dr. Timothy James from the National Convocation. Great faith. John 10, verses 17 and 18 says, "The reason my father loves me is I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my father." Easter is a time when every Christian's faith is reaffirmed, encouraged, and reinforced. Lenten observances, exercises, and disciplines serve to draw us closer to God in prayer, contemplation, and renewal. We are reminded time and again that it is our faith that pleases God. It demonstrates our trust in and dependency upon God. What is most appealing to me at Easter time is to recognize the faith of Jesus. He is called the author and finisher of our faith, and rightfully so. These verses in the 10th chapter of John talk about the faith that Jesus had in God. This faith came from an intimate relationship that they maintained throughout the earthly mission and ministry of Jesus. He lived obediently, selflessly, and totally committed to doing the will of God. Jesus was confident in fulfilling the work of loving, living, and dying because the love of God was never absent or uninvolved. Such love gave him power and authority to know that he could lay down his life and take it up again. This is indeed great faith. Our church exercises great faith through our Easter offering. This offering reaches out through our general ministries to assist in bringing life, love, and learning to the church and beyond. Your giving to the Easter offering supports missionaries around the world, the work of Disciples Home Missions, Disciples Women, ethnic ministry groups, the Disciples of Christ Historical Society, and more. Your faithful giving is the essential support in our continuation and participation in great faith as exemplified by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Please pray with me. God of all ages, you have emptied the tomb and set us free from our burdens. Hope has overshadowed fear. Comfort has replaced neglect. Faith has gained victory over doubt. The bounds of everyday living, often overwhelming our souls and weakening our spirits, are liberated through your Son, Jesus Christ. Today we recommit to offering comfort, hope, and faith as your generous disciples to others who are driven by fear, neglect, and doubt. We offer these gifts in your honor and in honor of your Easter promise. Hallelujah and amen.
And Stan Kerlin joining us today.
Thank you.
And the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, choir and musicians. What an incredible gift that is. Our Old Testament scripture reading today comes from Psalm 118. As Peg Jackson comes forward to lead us this morning. No, I'm not leaving you out. I would invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 758. You'll notice there's a sung refrain. Peg is going to lead us. We'll respond in reading the bold print. And every time there's an R, we will sing the refrain. Lonnie will play that through for us once, page 758 in your hymnal. And then we'll sing together. Let us listen for the word of the Lord.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
And let the house of Aaron say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
God's steadfast love.
The Lord is my strength and my might.
The Lord has become my salvation.
There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I cannot let this be gone, but what I tell you, this last Tuesday was my 11th great-granddaughter.
Oh.
Yes. And wait a minute, her name is Oakley. I'll just call her Annie.
Peg, with a great-grandma like you, Annie Oakley has a wonderful life ahead of her. Our New Testament reading today is the story of Easter as told in the Gospel of Luke. We begin in the 23rd chapter at verse 55. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you again, choir, for that beautiful music today. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, on this day, we eagerly celebrate your resurrection. For some, it is an idle tale. But for all who believe, it is the glorious truth of your resurrection and our passage to eternal life. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. We hear the names of three women: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joanna. You might picture three women who are good friends, who've known each other for a long time. These women had followed Jesus' ministry. They had seen the miracles he performed. Perhaps they had even eaten at table with him. They had traveled where his apostles traveled. And they were there at the cross when he died. Zach Hawley, one of the members of our baptismal class, has asked the question, why is it called Good Friday? He's been listening carefully to the story of everything that happens on the Friday of Holy Week. Jesus is arrested and beaten and hung on a cross. What on earth is good about that? The good news comes on Easter Sunday. Friday is good because we know the rest of the story. The death on the cross is not the end, but a marker of what is yet to come. Friday marks the Jewish Sabbath. Jewish time begins at sunset. So Sabbath begins at the setting of the sun on Friday night and continues through the last day of the week, the seventh day, Saturday, a day of rest. That's why those three women could not take care of Jesus' body on Friday. You see, the Roman soldiers took him down from the cross close to that last hour of the day. It was sunset. Sabbath was coming. There was barely time to hastily put Jesus' body in a borrowed tomb. There was no time to do the work of caring for that body. And so the women went back to their homes, their hearts heavy with grief. It felt as if hope itself had been crucified. And indeed, what is good about that? They waited through all the long hours of the Sabbath day. They waited. knowing that Jesus' body was alone, sealed in a tomb, a rock-hewn cave with a large stone rolled in front of it. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that there were Roman guards posted outside of the tomb. You see, there were some who had really paid attention to the messages Jesus had given. Woven through his teaching, there were these cryptic comments about how he would die, and then on the third day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on the third day, he would be raised to new life. Interestingly, the ones who took those comments seriously were the government rulers. They're the ones who posted the guard, because they knew if Jesus' disciples snuck in and stole his body and then said he's been resurrected, there'd be even more trouble from this Nazarene carpenter after his death than they had had during his life. From their perspective, Jesus should have just been a footnote in history, a poor peasant, an itinerant teacher, wandering around, spending time with outsiders. Surely once he was dead and gone, it would be over. So we find ourselves on the third day, on Easter Sunday, on the first day of the week, following along as those women trudge out early in the morning, carrying their spices. Precious cargo held as carefully as you would carry a newborn baby, they headed to the tomb. Perhaps almost stumbling in the darkness as this eastern skyline just began to glow. They made their way to the tomb, along the way wondering, who will roll away the stone for us? Will the guards let us in? Will we be able to take care of the master's body as we want to? It was the custom of the time to practice a simplified embalming, to rub spices and ointment over a loved one's mortal form, then to wrap it in linen and leave it to lie in peace. They had loved Jesus when he was alive, and they wanted to show their love for him in his death. When they got to the tomb, it was a strange sight. The stone had already been rolled away. The government seal was broken and gone. There were footprints in the dirt. It looked as if perhaps someone had fallen down and then run off. They went into the tomb. They stooped down low and stepped inside that rock cave, anticipating seeing Jesus' body on a slab of stone. As their eyes adjusted to the darkness, with the sun coming in over their shoulder through the doorway, they gasped. There was no body. Jesus was gone. What could it mean? As they puzzled and stared at one another, suddenly two men appeared before them. They didn't come in through the doorway. They were just there, in dazzling white. Are these men? Are these angels? Are these messengers from God? They speak to the women and say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Then the women remembered. Jesus had talked about dying and rising again on the third day. It had really happened. With joy and wonder, they rushed back out the door of the tomb and ran as fast as they could. The sun was up now, bright, lighting their way. It was as if in an instant spring had come. Flowers were blooming, birds were singing. There was hope born again. They reached the apostles, the 11, Jesus' friends minus Judas. And they tell them what they had seen. He is risen. Perhaps if they had gone to the government officials, they would have been believed immediately. Instead, the apostles thought and said to one another, "It's an idle tale, some women's gossip, perhaps." Even today in our world, there are those who, when they hear the Easter story, will think it's an idle tale, a fairy tale of feeble minds, a legend repeated, a story, and yet it is true. The Roman soldiers guarded the tomb. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus walked out. If the disciples had snuck in and stolen his body, it would have been reported, and the story would have ended there. That would be easier to believe, in fact. For most people, going through the door of a tomb is a one-way journey. Your body is dead. You're laid in the grave. You don't get up again. And yet, by the power of God, life conquers death. Jesus went into the tomb dead and came out alive, reversing the order of all that we expect to happen. Peter stood as the women told their tale. He wanted to believe, but he wasn't sure that he could. He was the one who had denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed. Peter had to see for himself. He went to the tomb and looked in. It was as the women had said, the tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. Peter was amazed, and he went back home. This morning, we have come as those women did on an early morning. We have come aware that Jesus died on the cross, nailed there for our sins. He bled and died and breathed his last. We have come through the door of the church to this place. For some, coming to church is a little bit like going through the door of a tomb. My granddad was one of those folks. Grandpa Dobson went to church for weddings and funerals, and that was it. If you come through the door of church, and you hear the amazing news that God loves you. God loves you so much that God was willing to come to earth and take on human form. God loves you so much that Jesus died on the cross so you can go through the door of a tomb all the way to heaven and keep on living. If you come through the door of church and you hear that, and you believe it, you will be amazed. Of course, it is possible to come through the door of a church and still think this is an idle tale and go back home and live your life as if nothing has changed, as if nothing really matters. But on Easter Sunday, of all days, my friends, I invite you to believe at least the possibility that the gospel is true, that God, who made all life, can even make life where there is death. Will you be like Peter? Will you be amazed in this place and then go home? Or will you be like the women who came in through the door of the tomb and found themselves forever changed, eager to run out and tell others the good news? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. The women went into the tomb. There are times in our own lives when we walk through doorways that are dark and hard and painful. Perhaps you have walked through the doorway of a broken relationship. Perhaps you've walked through the doorway of hearing an employer say your job is gone. Perhaps you've walked through the doorway of death itself, holding the hand of a loved one as they breathe their last. In that dark place, God is still alive. And so you are invited to walk through the door of the dark times of your life and know that hope waits on the other side. If you invite Jesus to walk through the door of your heart into your life, it changes everything. Your sin is forgiven. Your despair is transformed into hope. Your fear of death is gone, for you are given the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. If you walk through the waters of baptism with Christ, your sins are washed away. You die to your old life, and you are raised to new life in Jesus. Then, my friends, Friday, the worst day the world had ever seen, when God himself died on a cross, Friday becomes good because of Easter, because of the resurrection and the gift of life. There's a door waiting for you to go through when you leave this place. The choice is yours. You might walk through the door and not be changed and never bother to even tell anyone you went to church on Easter Sunday. Or you might walk through that door into the world and see with new eyes the light in the darkness, the gift of spring and new life, the promise of Jesus being present with you. As you walk through the door to head into the world, may you be amazed by God's love given for you. And may you tell someone else the good news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 226, He Lives. We'll sing the first and last verses of this glorious Easter hymn. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, we invite you to join us at First Christian by confession of faith, baptism, or transfer of membership. If you have never invited Jesus to walk through the heart of your life, do so today. You'll be amazed at the difference it makes. Let us stand and sing together, He Lives, verses 1 and 3. you do not already have a church home, we invite you to join us here for worship any Sunday at 1010 at First Christian Church. It is a blessing for us to have you present to celebrate Christ's resurrection today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, our risen Savior, this day we go out through the door into the world knowing that you live. You live in our hearts, you live in our world, you live and reign in heaven eternally. Thank you, Christ, for coming to earth, for dying on the cross, and for giving us, through your grace of resurrection, the gift of eternal life. Bless now with peace your people, that we might go forth amazed and eager to tell the good news. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.